advised.
Spoiler alert episode. Spoiler.
Please be advised. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Spoiler Ep 63, Death Note.
A lot to talk about for this film, but before we get started, I want to mention our Patreon sponsor.
How
because
about it?
We're adding more value to the tier. Yes. You're going to get mentioned on the spoiler eps now, too. This is Frightfully Uninformed, a podcast that watches mostly classic horror movies to figure out horror movie fandom. Frightfullyuninformed.com, and we appreciate you guys' patronage.
Yeah, you're supporting the show. Yeah. And at the $50 level, you get mentioned now, not right. just in the weekly regular episode, but in the spoiler ep. So we're giving you yep. more bang for your buck. The price is not increasing.
No.
You're just getting more coverage.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Come on, you sons of bitches.
I don't know what more we can do.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell you want.
But we have our special guest for the Death Note spoiler, and you may recognize him from the last episode. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, Sean Merrick from Podcast One, and he has two podcasts now, not just Worst Collection Ever. And what's the name of the other one?
I Can Talk Kayfabe. Yeah.
He's a wrestling nerd.
Mm. Oh, I'm a big wrestling nerd. I can talk kayfabe for hours.
He also is featured in Earbuds, the podcasting documentary.
He is, out September 12th on all digital platforms.
All digital platforms. So listen, watch Sean, see his cat.
Yep. Yeah.
And
that's the thing I'm most proud of. I don't know why. It's just one of those things. It's like, yeah, I know I beat a life-threatening disease, but my cat.
Well, your cat's agent was a pain in the ass.
He's a demanding guy.
But we welcome him. His feline friends and family for listening to the show. Meow, 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 meow. All right, Death Note.
Let's talk about it.
Let's start with the ending.
Let's start with the ending. I don't even remember the ending.
Well, the ending.
So the ending was this kid writing.
Wait, real quick. I'm sorry. For those of you who have never listened to a spoiler ep before, we are going to talk about, obviously, the ending and mm-hmm. key points of the film. So if you've not seen Death Note and don't want it spoiled for you, please stop listening and watch it. It is available exclusively on Netflix. We're going to talk about everything in this movie, Death Note, starting yes. with the ending. Ready to go. Hit it.
Yeah. Now, the ending was one of those things where you were like, oh, what happened? And then they showed us, like, remember The Sixth Sense? Like, when they show, like,
yeah.
here's a flashback. Here's how everything was set up so that ending could happen.
Oh.
And it was
like Ocean's 11, for crying out loud.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like, oh, okay. So yeah, now.
Carl Reiner rappelling down the elevator shaft.
Up till the end, we're still making up rules and nonsense for this movie.
And then what happened? So it basically sounded like. The way they ended it, I felt like, oh, they're setting, this is like an episodic, like it was the pilot of an episodic series with Netflix, like, oh, Ryuk's going to come back and L's going to keep fighting the good fight and the kid still has the book and he killed his girlfriend. It was crazy. And,
but even the death god wants him to give the book to someone else. I'm like, but wait, he's using it to kill a lot of people. Doesn't that make you happy, death god?
Right.
Like what's going to go... next, but then, you know, one of the things that I found interesting that also didn't get explored is like, well, what happens to a keeper after he gives the book away? Like, does the death god then make that old keeper the first one that gets written in the note? Like that was like mentioned as a threat. I'm like, well, has that happened or is that what's going on? Is that why he doesn't want to give up the book? Because he knows his name might be in it next. And then my favorite dumb rule was that, well, you get to burn one page and then that person doesn't get killed.
Yeah, and that was sort of the convoluted Ocean's 11 ending where it's like he writes these things. I'm writing where the Ferris wheel's going to break. My girlfriend's going to pull the one page out, thus burning my page so I don't die. Yeah. I get revised at midnight. I drop into the water.
Yeah. He basically writes like a big serial killer fanfic kind of thing.
Yeah.
He's like, this serial killer will do this.
That was a lot to write in that book. I mean, there had to be a lot of pages in that. I mean, that was like he literally wrote an entire movie at the end into the Death Note. Now, I want to read this... last piece of trivia that we didn't get to in the regular show.
All right.
Adam Wingard read the Death Note manga comic to find a way to translate the story to an American environment. Quote, Death Note is such a Japanese thing. It became about what do these themes mean to modern day America? How does that affect how we tell the story? What are the things that people chalk up to conspiracy theories? What kind of weird underground programs does the government have? How do these work in the world of Death Note? All great questions. None of them get answered.
Oh boy. Like, let's talk about the L character. So they just randomly throw out he was raised in some crime-fighting orphanage or something like that? What the fuck was that?
That was something where I was like, okay, so he's like...
They're making a bunch of Sherlock Holmeses.
Yeah, he's locked in a room that has... God, this is so dumb. So he's locked in this room that has white and black stripes. That's why he always has to have that in his crazy rooms.
Yeah.
And just eats candy.
It's like some Batman kind of thing going on. And,
right.
and he
had an Alfred. Right. He had an Alfred.
Now, I like the guy that played his Alfred real quick, because I want to talk about, because that actor...
was it Katari or something his name was?
The character's name is Watari.
Watari.
It was played by Paul Nakauchi. In Death Note, his head is shaved. He looks a lot older. He looks more like an Alfred. If you go to Paul Nakauchi's IMDb page, he's a young guy with a nice full head of hair.
Right.
He looks like he's about 33. But in this thing, he looks like he's in his late 50s or 60s. So yeah. that was cool. The idea of the Watari character was cool. The idea that he grew up in, like, so when are we going to find out about L's backstory and being raised... You know, in this...
He's like and it was so weird the way he was presented, too. He's like, he's a some kind of superhero ninja detective who perches on chairs, who doesn't like sitting on
and
them.
And a Seattle cop is like, oh, I've heard about him.
Yeah, I'm like, what?
Why
are the cops listening to this dude? Just because the FBI is like, we brought in some weirdo, and he's going to help us fix this, and we're going to let him speak in front of giant audiences.
And we're going to have him wear a mask. Now, I thought, especially watching with the trailer and hearing the rules in the book, where one of the rules in the book is you write someone's name down, but you have to picture that person's face.
And you have to know their full name.
And you have to know their full name. So that, you know, if you put a name down, the wrong person with the same name doesn't get killed. Actually, that I was in the anime. That wasn't even in the movie. I'm like, oh, that makes more sense now, that rule where that's why you have to picture the face, because people have the same names. However, it was never explained like that he knew about the book, and that's why he was wearing the mask, so we could never get pictures.
They introduced this cool thing, so I was like, oh, he must know.
Right.
So there's a Death Note... You know,
Wikipedia page,
or there's a Death Note, crime department,
right?
Or we've been tracking Ryuk for years, or something.
Or the book, we've heard legends of the book. We know it's real, and we know you have it.
That's why he was in Japan, because he knows the sacred story of the book,
right?
Because William Dafoe, you know, who again, we like the fact that he played the Death God.
He plays a great bad guy.
A great creepy bad guy. Mm-hmm. His voice fits the physicality of this spike-faced weirdo.
Yes.
So when he's like, I don't, the book is as old as time, or whatever he said, I was like, oh, great. So then I was like, oh, L, you know, I thought we were going to get into some sort of like Highlander centuries-long battle for this thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But no. Mm-mm. No, just eats candy and sits weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we find out from, like you said, it's from some weird Sherlock Holmes orphanage where they're, well, what happened to all the other master detectives
that were in this orphanage? And also, too, they're like, oh, this orphanage, you can't find it. It's, you know, I have to walk through the woods of New York. I think it's apparently like in upstate New York.
Sure.
And they're walking around and he finds this random orphanage, which, you know, somehow he...
And found Miss Peregrine's home for peculiar children.
Yeah. Right. And, you know, and then
the cider house rules.
Right.
All together. But there's still files in cabinets in an old dusty basement.
Well, clearly, and they won't be hard to find or go through.
We don't want anyone to find this place, but let's just leave. We don't burn the file. Like, who the fuck's running this goddamn detective orphanage? Yeah.
And what happened? Why did it close?
What happened? Yeah, Sean, you were saying, though.
What's the ending?
Well, yeah, just about you were talking about the orphanage in the woods. And
well, there's this random orphanage in the woods, and, you know, I kind of was like, why can't you talk about this more? Because this is the movie I want to follow.
Right.
About the secret orphanage mystery-solving kids that you guys are creating.
And maybe they were made specifically to try to find the book.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
That would be neat. I'd watch that.
And that's cool to follow the book through their eyes instead of having some wiener kid playing God, you know?
Yeah, that, you know, just wants to kill the bully.
Just wants to... And then, I mean, I was sort of like, the girlfriend gets power hungry.
Yeah.
All right, at first it's like, I love you, we're this couple fighting bad guys, and that's what's so great, and then she gets power hungry and goes...
But then uses the book on her own, like, you know...
That was bullshit.
Right, you know, it would have been a more emotional drama, too, to see her almost like a Lady Macbeth,
right?
Where, you know, I'm going to control my husband to commit these murders,
like that kind of thing. If I could write in the book, I would, but I can't.
Right, I can't. So that would have been far more interesting. It's like, you know, she makes all these arguments and actually convinces him to do the wrong thing.
Yeah. And then, but they never explain how she's able to write in the book.
Well, even at the end, where Elle...
Or one of those... sorry, Sean, but this goes to that point. It wasn't just her writing in the book. She actually made the FBI team that was following them write in the book and picture all the other FBI agents so they would all kill each other
And they're
together.
Not the keepers of the book.
They're not
so
the keepers
the
of the book. So yeah. So it was so weird.
And then, like, even at the end where Elle just has a single page and he's like, I'm going to write somebody's name on this, you know? And
right.
Like, well, why should that fucking matter?
Right, exactly.
It's just a dumb... It's not in the book. You know what I mean? You can't just write something out of sheet of loose leaf and expect it to happen.
Right. Yeah. How does the... And then that's supposed to be this big, like, ooh, ending. Like, but you've told... Where... If you're going to... There's no... You need... I need another rule that says if the man fighting the keeper has a single page and he eats candy, then he can write... Yeah. Give me something. Don't just establish these rules and then fucking bail on him.
Right.
Yeah. No, and there's just... I mean, there's also a lot of the moral quandaries that gets brought up with this. And, I mean, I was thinking about this because I was thinking about, like, well, what if that book came to me? And I would... I don't know. I would be bored with even... I don't even know if I would want to write in it because it's uncomfortable. You know, if anything, I would want it to be like an inconvenience book. You know, like if somebody has to write in it and you'd be like, they have to move their shit all the time, you know, to different apartments.
You know? I would just be annoying.
Yeah, like, yeah, an annoying book. I would say that would make me...
Annoying note?
Yeah, annoying note or
always
something.
Always having to give a half full big gulp.
Yes.
Yeah, just, you know, something like that. But I mean, it's just...
Always has a flat tire.
But these guys are out here... Yeah. You just, you know, or like, you know, you have to, I don't know, just random stuff that would annoy people.
It was one of those things that just raised all these great questions and then just never explored them properly.
Yeah.
And never, like it, you don't even have to answer them. That's part of the excitement and interesting aspects of this, where you're just raising these moral questions and dilemmas. Like, you don't have to even wrap them up in a neat bow, but you do have to explore them. And that's what never really happened.
Well, that's the thing. It's such a great point, because they bring up a cool thing. So the kid's dad, who plays the cop, right? All these cops are actually like, man, we love Kira. Kira's
doing,
wife.
Doing our job.
Doing our job for him. Yeah. So they're mad at him and like, well, that's an interesting... I mean, this has been explored a lot, but what a cool concept to instill into this premise of the cops, like, it's still something's wrong. I got to investigate this. All the whole department. But so what do? They vandalize his office. Like, even the execution of the guy is like fucking stupid.
Well, even they mention here about the underground programs with the government, like the government connection. You know, there are like, I'm surprised that it right off the bat, it's not just like, you know, it's not a huge government issue. Like, we don't get to see the scope of that. You know, which I know it's, you know, they have to kind of shrink it down for a movie.
It's good to see also the cops have so much time to vandalize an office. They're not that busy.
Maybe somebody wrote it in the book and said, vandalize his office. Which that's a bullshit part, that you can influence somebody for 48 hours. I mean.
Right. Then it was like, oh, another random rule. You can influence them for 48 hours, but then they still have to die unless you burn the page.
Again,
I
like,
think.
It's, and also,
I think. I
and
think.
Also, Rio can pick what he wants. If you just say, you know, Joker's wild, you know, go ahead and do it. He'll do it.
Yeah.
Right.
You pick
dealer's choice.
Dealer's choice. Mm-hmm. Like,
dealer's choice. And it was
I'm
like,
going to throw an apple at him.
Yeah.
Well, there's so many things, too. Like, again, the moral quandaries that. So when Kira is killing all of these demons. And then so these people.
Kira is the kid's code name.
Right. Is the kid's code name. Right. Mm-hmm. And he picked it. It's a Japanese character's name.
Yeah, so they'll be looking in Japan for me.
Right.
Got from this manga called Death Note.
And then, what would the global reaction be, especially in this era of, you know, social media? Well, that was a kind of cool thing. Like, people love him. They care of saves. He's making the planet better. We love him. And of course, conspiracy theories would run wild on the internet.
Right, exactly.
And you hear
some
guy...
Kira is a group of 1,000 people or something.
Well,
you know,
saw
who
that
knows?
One guy who, whatever, had like a YouTube channel being like, you know, it's the global deep state, you know, the corporates are doing... And it's like, well, of course you would think that.
Right.
And then the government agency thing, That would be interesting, of like the government agency going, we need this book because we want to use it for like, we just want to kill this sheik that won't let us get a pipeline. You know,
we need to destabilize this region of the Middle East.
And of course, what's bullshit about that is if that's the line, because the rules are so vague, the government could be like, you know, some senator can get it and just be like, all right, I'm start writing names in here.
Right.
And it doesn't matter because whoever, even though it belongs to this one kid, he could just have it and anybody can have it and write their names.
Like, hey, kid, can I borrow your book for a minute?
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, you got to shoot a loose leaf I can borrow? You know, okay, I'll write
but
it
I'm
up.
The keeper. Apparently that doesn't mean anything.
Doesn't mean anything.
What happens? Actually, it would be great. What if the book gets full? I would like to have seen that. Like,
well, that would be interesting too.
One page left, and he's got like half a page left. Yeah. And he's like, I gotta fit all this in. You know?
Does it reset? Like, again, these are all interesting things that would be interesting to see.
And
in a
why
film.
Didn't you brought this up in the regular episode, Chris? When he goes, when Kira or the kid says to Ryuk, he goes, maybe I'll put your name in the book. He goes, that's been tried. I've only gotten two letters. I'm like, oh. What a cool thing to introduce. Maybe he's going to finally figure out how to kill the death god and he'll have the book for good or get rid of it so there's no more. No. I don't know. Fucking hell can write on a loose leaf.
You think that would have been the last thing?
It was two lines of dialogue and that was it. Never got explored.
That would have been, you think that would have been like the last thing he would have did? He's like just about to fall out of that Ferris wheel and he's like, book, name, or he has some sort of convoluted thing where somebody writes that guy's name in his book and then the death god dies, and that's the end of the book. Instead of, because obviously, he had to keep this whole, Light had to keep this whole thing going on.
Can the death god burn pages? And then I think there was also a rule where each keeper can only burn one page. So there was like a limit. But what if you're not the keeper and you're writing it in anyway? How many pages could you burn? So it made less and less sense as it went on.
I mean, all right, let's all go through at least a couple of scenes or whatever that you actually liked.
Right. One of the things that I liked about the film for sure was the setup and premise. And I thought it really just, there was a lot of things to explore. They never just got there. But I thought Willem Dafoe was really well cast. I thought his voice was great. Now, I'm not sure what the effects were like. Was he just voice or was
he was voice, but they also had an actor playing in that thing, but then there were scenes where he was mo-capped, like Andy Serkis.
Right, that's what I was curious of.
They had to, because if you watch the end, after the movie, they have a little quick little gag reel. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah, there's
a little stick around for that.
Which ruins the film.
Yeah, I was like, why is there a gag reel? I don't want
to have a gag reel on Ocean's 11.
Yeah,
you don't have a gag reel on a horror thriller because it then takes the power out of it. You see these actors from these intense scenes, and now you see them like, ah, ha, 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 I flubbed a line. You're like, oh, so the whole thing was dumb anyway.
Yeah,
I'm gonna write your names in here.
Yeah, wasn't taking it that seriously.
Yeah.
So I felt like Willem Dafoe really, really brought the death god to life. Ryuk, is it?
Ryuk.
I thought that was really good casting. The casting on the rest was just like decent. Like, no, I didn't feel like anyone ever really stood out. Like especially the main kid. Like,
see,
I thought he was okay.
Nat Wolff's okay. He was in Paper Towns. He was in The Fault in Our Stars, but he was sort of Paper Towns sort of missed the boat. Fault in Our Stars was great, but he didn't have he was like a sidekick role or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was okay. He played the teenage kid all right. Believable teenage kid.
Right.
Who's trying to do the right thing with the book. That was okay. The girlfriend was sort of standard high school girlfriend.
Right.
Actually, I kind of liked her. I like her presence. That's Andy McDowell's kid, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really?
And, she kind of had this, like...
Now, I thought that was interesting, the way she was really starting to turn, like...
Yeah,
and
she
tried
got
to
corrupted,
turn him.
Kind of like... but I thought she kind of... she has a cool kind of, like, goth, bitchy kind of... Kristen Stewart meets Kat Dennings kind of thing going on.
Right. Oh, and I also liked all the 80s music at the prom.
Yeah. Well, actually, let me say this. The soundtrack was awesome.
Yeah.
There's some real, like, I think, like John Carpenter kind of vibes in it, especially towards the end. I was really kind of digging on the score specifically.
It really felt specifically like in like a... like an 80s score.
Yeah,
it really totally did, and that was deliberate for Madame Wingard for sure.
Yeah, I think she was, you know, she's in a couple of, she's on that Leftovers TV show. She was had a small part in The Nice Guys, and she was in Palo Alto. I think she's a decent actress, but I kind of liked seeing her get corrupted by the power of the book.
Yeah.
But I still feel like from a script standpoint, she wasn't given enough. Like, this is the standard sort of little two-dimensional for me. Like, no one was written like, oh, wow. No one had none of their writing or their character development or arc was like so amazing, other than Willem Dafoe.
Right.
Well, they didn't quite get there with the development for these characters. They kind of took you to like a certain point and just kind of left you there, like especially with like L and like his backstory. And they introduced that stuff like so kind of late in the game.
Right. And you're like, oh, wait, where's this person coming from? What's the point of this? It like, how does this? It's also too. You know, how does the, you get the question, how does this fit into the universe? Like, you have basically a death god and a book. So now you're going to introduce, after that, some weird, you know, orphan, you know, detective school.
Yeah.
Like that, but also that has.
That's literally
literally nothing to do with the book. Like, he's just solving crimes, and, you know, and they intersect, but they intersect in such an awkward way that, you know, he doesn't really learn about the book until what? The last couple. You know, minutes of the film,
yeah.
When he has a page.
Yeah.
I mean, Lakeith Stanfield, he's been in some, like, you know, he's in War Machine. He has a good character in War Machine that plays, and he brings up some great points in War Machine, if you listen to the spoiler ep that we did with Jimmy Dore, mm-hmm. about, so there was good writing for his character in War Machine. And he was very believable as this Marine that's like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, just, yeah. I'm a Marine. I'm here to fucking blow shit up. And you're telling me I have these bullshit rules. Like, he helped articulate from just one Marine's point of view the ridiculousness of Afghanistan. So I think he did a good job with that. He's also in Get Out. I like him in Get Out.
He's
in Crown Heights.
Was he the guy, I'm trying to think of, he was the guy that they took a picture of and he freaks out. Is that him?
In War Machine?
No, in Get Out.
Get Out.
In Get Out, yes.
Okay, yeah.
So, he's
the one that actually says Get Out.
Yeah.
He has a titular line.
And so I think in this film, and again, I haven't seen Crown Heights, but what Kevin Avery said, it was a really solid film, and Crown Heights is based on a true story. So he's on that show, Atlanta.
He's really good. I thought he was really good. I thought his, especially considering that a lot of his scenes had him wearing that mask, and he had a... get across his, you know, his scenes with his eyes and, you know, just the expression. I thought he, you know, he did that.
He was wearing a ninja mask.
Yeah, wearing a ninja mask, but he's doing, I thought he did quite well. And, you know, being all quirky and stuff like that and sitting on things or not sitting on things.
Mm-hmm. I like that. And too, like, again, I think he did the best he could with what was given him.
Yeah.
Because when Watari goes missing, you see the real pain in his mm-hmm. eyes because Watari raised him because he was raised in... So again, it's an actor like trying to do the best of like...
He freaks out. And it's like, it's a genuine freak out because you're like, okay, this was the guy that was keeping me together as the glue because he's my, you know, he raised me and I've only known him. And now all of a sudden, you know, this stupid book and this kid's got one up on me and, and it's... Just there's a lot of emotions going through him, and you can see that. And I thought he was probably my favorite actor in the entire movie.
Yeah, I mean,
I'll say Willem.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, he was interesting. I mean, the sitting on the chairs and the sort of OCD of the candy, I was okay with that. It felt like it got to be too much. Like it was like too much of an actor. Like. Trying to show I'm a quirky, unique guy, and maybe that was a directorial problem.
Could be.
Or maybe, I mean, it might have been a combination of script, director, and then an actor not having much, so they're like, oh, I got to press.
Right.
What if they found out his name, and then they wrote in a death note, L dies from diabetes from all the candy?
Yeah.
That would have been appropriate.
In 20 years.
Yeah. 20 years. The long game.
But I'll give this credit to Lakeith Stanfield. So even with those sort of like almost overacting the quirkiness of the L character, I still like the scene where he comes to the dinner table, he just comes into the house and says, I got you. I know you're Kira. Yeah, and right. then here's the search warrant. I was like, well, that's cool because we've seen those scenes done a million times, right?
Right.
The cop, the detective knows he's got the guy, just needs more evidence. The way he executed that as this, you know, raised in a detective orphanage guy, I was like, well, that was interesting. And I think these actors were doing the best they could with the script that just was there's too many problems with it.
Can I also point out real quick, like a lot of stuff going on with these. So the light and Mia, they're doing all this writing in the death note, and they're killing this guy, that guy, everything. But they're still maintaining like regular school schedules, and they're going to dances, and they're sitting on Ferris wheels and shit.
They have great time management skills.
And great ways to keep it together because, Jesus, come on. You know, you're murdering people from afar by writing in a stupid book. And one of you guys can see a spiny Groot all the time.
Yes.
How is it that you're just... But you're just like, oh, I'll go to class still, you know?
Yeah, you just are psychologically fucking losing your shit.
Right.
It's just something about...
I have math. I have a math quiz.
Yeah.
I have calculus. You know, it's like, why? Where's the wear and tear on that stuff? Because, I mean, it should be more evident, you know?
There should be some guilt in taking lives that way. There should be some, like, remorse or some... I mean, it's almost like... She's a little more believable in terms of just the character arc of getting bloodthirsty because that is a psychological thing that could happen. You
sure.
know, you start killing people and you think, yeah, I got to kill more. And that's a little more believable than him just
you know,
like, I got to kill.
Well, it gets easier every time you do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Which, yeah, if you've ever watched, you know, serial killer profile shows or whatever,
always,
the first one is messy and then they start.
Yeah. They Dexter it.
They get their groove.
Yeah. They get their Dexter groove. So, yeah, that wasn't, and they could have done more stuff with in terms of like, you know, what he could have done with the book. And I understand, I'm sure the justification is, well, they're teenage kids, so there's just still not thinking that
right
in that you know.
Well, I'll tell you,
in depth or whatever.
I think so too, and I will say this: it's made me seek out the anime.
Like yeah,
I started watching the anime, and it's on Netflix too. You could watch there as well. So
is it subtitled Japanese?
It's subtitled. Yeah. So I started watching that because it definitely the world caught my interest. Like that, there's just kind of how it's all kind of put together. So yeah. I'm going to check it out. I haven't read the manga. I don't know how many books there are, but just the premise is still interesting to me. Yeah. So I'm gonna check out Death Note in other forms.
Can I just bring up one scene real quick? The chase scene at the end when they're running through Seattle? Question mark? and it's like a Monty Python sketch. Like there's a they're running into people in a restaurant and they're in diners and they're running through apartments. I almost expected some guy be like try to lift up like a piano or something. Like oh no, I dropped it. Like just it's this weird comedy of errors. And then he gets to the end and he's about to shoot. L's about to shoot Light, and he gets, and then some dude comes out and he's like, in the kid and Light's like, I'm Kira. I'm Kira, and he's like, oh okay, hit. And then this guy who's just like, oh, I guess I believe you, and I stopped you from being murdered. Random dude, come on.
Yeah, another random event in a fairly random movie.
Yeah.
But any closing thoughts, gentlemen?
I wish this would have been executed better because there's so many cool aspects
that
were introduced or could have been introduced. Mm-hmm. And the ones that were introduced, if they were executed correctly, this could have been a really interesting thing where we could have looked at it like Get Out.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or The Gift.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever, and been like, oh man.
So I think the recommendation is go back to the source material first, which I think is what I'm going to do.
I think Adam Wingard, the mistake that he might have made is in those quotes that you read about him trying to adapt it to the American audience and culture. I think that took it too far off track, is my guess.
It feels that way.
And introducing some of these like cooler, more interesting plot points towards the end, and doing stuff that. You know, like with stuff with L, and then just like
there's too many pieces shoved into a small puzzle.
I would have liked to have actually seen. I don't know. Maybe I don't know if this is like a thing in the source material where they don't address the rules, but I almost would have liked to seen you know, Light actually reading through the rules and trying to make, you know, maybe just a few scenes of that, trying to make sense of that, and maybe finding, you know, so we actually knew what he was referencing towards the end instead of just like, you know, I mean, I guess they sort of do that with the one page being torn out, but like, I mean, especially with everybody writing in the book and taking advantage of it, that's, you know, that's just sloppy.
All right, so I, yeah, if you haven't seen the movie, I know some of you just like watching the spoiler up. It's interesting, I guess. It's on Netflix, so it's an easy watch. It's just, yep, like, I mean, you can just sort of watch it whenever. I would be curious to see. I really would like to hear from people that are fans of the anime in the
right. And
like,
what did you think of the adaptation, and what was missing?
Yeah. And what would you have liked to have seen done differently, right, or whatever? So put those comments on the Facebook page or somewhere else so we can read them.
Yeah, I'm not sure if our message boards are still working. We've been having Brian work on them for like months. I think they're still broken. We're looking at a solution for the message boards right now for the Comedy Film Nerds website. So as of now, if you have comments, yeah, put them on the Facebook page.
Speaking of spoiler ups, guys, we'd love to go to Australia in December.
Yeah.
So if anyone wants to underwrite that,
it's up to you guys.
We're all for it. But that's our show. Sean Merrick, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me at Angry Hero Sean. That's S-H-A-W-N is how you spell Sean. You can find me there on Twitter and Instagram. You can also find my two shows on the interwebs, Worst Collection Ever and I Could Talk Kayfabe. Just type those into Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts and check them out.
That's our show, guys. Go to LA Podfest. It's less than a month away. Get the tickets. We're doing day passes now. And
when do they go on sale, the day passes?
I believe there are up. If they're not, there will be soon.
Oh, fantastic.
So LAPodFest.com, October 6th, 7th, and 8th with the preview night October 5th. And
at the Hollywood Improv.
At the Hollywood Improv. So yep, your weekend pass gets you into the preview night. So you get an extra night of shows.
Yeah. And Hollywood.improv.com is where you get tickets for the preview night.
There you go. So,
oh, and also, you can buy your LA Podfest badge at the preview night too.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll do that again this year.
We'll do that again this year. It's going to be fantastic. We did the walkthrough at the Biltmore last week. We're excited.
It's got a good vibe.
It's a really cool step up.
And we're really expanding the panel and workshop programs. We're calling it Podcast Pros, and it's got a lot of great programs on it. We've got like dual tracks of programs Saturday and Sunday, and we've got live podcasts, all sorts of really cool stuff. We've got Chris Denson's doing his podcast live, Tom Merritt's doing Daily Tech News Show. It's going to be really cool. So we're expanding that portion of the festival as well.
Yeah, guys, and if you don't want this to be the last year of the festival, come out and support it.
Yes, yeah, we really need the support. We're on a tipping point, and it could tip either way.
It could tip either way. We're hoping it tips to keep doing it because, you know, we love doing it, but we can't do it if it's not profitable.
Right.
So
at least breaks even.
Yeah. So thank you to Sean Merrick.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you to all of you guys that listen to the show. Thank you to FrightfullyUninformed.com for supporting us and all the Patreon backers.
Yeah, don't forget, please be a patron. You could do it for as small as a dollar. Everything helps. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what? There was one thing I wanted to mention, Graham, that somebody had emailed and said that you had mentioned on a previous episode that, hey, I've got, you know, if you've got a little extra money on your gift card, like, why not give it to Comedy Film Nerd? So somebody emailed and said, I want to do that. How do I do it? Here's how you do it. We have a custom donation page on the website, and you could throw on any spare money you
spare
have
change.
On a on your gift card. So somebody did it. So awesome. It's like, that's another way to do it. It's a lot of you, you know, email, hey, how's different ways I can help the show?
That's
Patreon's
great.
One of them. One of them is if you just want to do a one-time donation, you could use the cart and put a custom donation in, good reviews, any of those things. All of those things help. There's many things you can do. Buy earbuds, everything.
Which is available September 12th on all digital platforms. Thank you so much for listening to the show and supporting us. We very much appreciate it. Thank you, Sean Merrick. My name, Graham Elwood.
I'm Chris Mancini, and as always, remember, Han shot first.